fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
What a great time of day it is. On a Thursday, it's 10:30, time for Fitter, Happier. Do you remember a saying that was echoed throughout your childhood? Drink more milk and you'll grow up with strong bones. When we're young, taking care of our bone health isn't something that usually crosses our mind. We only really become aware when we're at greater risk of osteoporosis. Joining us this morning to discuss osteoporosis and the importance of bone health is Charles Inderjeeth, a consultant physician from the North Metropolitan Health Service. He's also a clinical dean at Curtin University and a clinical professor at UWA. Welcome, Charles. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me today.
You've been a part of this area in health for quite some time. Can you tell us a bit about your background and your work?
Yes, it's a early interest of mine, and I've actually been working in the area for about 25 years, for as long as I've been a consultant physician. It's been an area of major interest because a lot of the patients that I do see do have osteoporosis.
What exactly is osteoporosis?
Now, osteoporosis is a common problem, and it basically means that you either have low bone density or very brittle bones, so it's thin bones. And these patients or people are at higher risk of having a broken bone, even with low trauma. And sometimes these patients can get broken bones with no trauma at all. So it can be what we call asymptomatic fractures. And this commonly occurs in women. And about two-thirds of these fractures in the spine are actually not identified until you have an X-ray or have significant pain.
That's a sobering thought. Osteoporosis is a condition that many young people associate with older people. Why is it important for young people to think about their bone health early?
Yes, that's an important myth. I think you mentioned early on that your mum or your grandmum said drink more milk and your bones would be healthy, and that still applies today because calcium and vitamin D are essential to actually improve your bone status. And importantly, I think from the time we are born until the age of about 25 or 30 is what we call the formative years, where you form most of your bones. And if you do not achieve that peak bone mass that's high enough, your risk of having a fracture is much earlier. So the more bone you gain during your childhood, your adolescent years, and early adult years, the better. So that is why we emphasize to young people that it is very important to take care of your bone health. Listen to your mum or your grandmum. Remember, more dairy and calcium. Get out into the sun and get some vitamin D. Exercise. Get off your chairs. And, drink more milk rather than some of the other beverages that reduce the amount of dairy that you will take in.
I like to think that dancing is helpful in this pursuit. What type of risk factors can contribute to osteoporosis?
Well, there are a number of risk factors that can affect. Obviously, genetics is something we cannot correct for, and family history is quite important. Low calcium or dairy intake is important because calcium is the building block in bone. And vitamin D is an important enabler in this process because it helps with bone formation as well as improving your muscle strength and reducing your fall risk. Other factors can have a very significant contribution, including lifestyle factors, for example, being sedentary, not exercising, not going outdoors, not achieving that what we call peak bone mass. And there are a number of medical conditions that can affect your bone density and osteoporosis risk. And that includes medical conditions that affect the bone, and it's chronic illnesses like asthma, lung disease, gastrointestinal disease, and of course a number of medications can do this, and steroids or prednisolone is one of the most important medications that can increase your risk of osteoporosis. So it's always important to consider your genetic background, your risk factors, your medical condition, and some of the medications which can all contribute to the risk of osteoporosis.
So why do women have a higher risk of developing the condition?
Yes, unfortunately, women are stronger in most things, but they do attain what's called a lower peak bone mass by the age of 25 to 30. And there are a number of reasons for that, because women have smaller bone or have smaller body mass, and that can affect your bone density. And in addition, women have menstrual cycles where there's a flux in, you know, some of the hormones involved in menstruation, and the drop in estrogen is a negative factor on bone. Women tend to attain a lower peak bone mass as a consequence of that. In addition, women are more likely to have pregnancies, and pregnancy and lactation or breastfeeding are significant contributors to osteoporosis and a lower BMD. And of course, women at the menopause start losing their ability to produce adequate estrogen. And estrogen is the most important hormone in improving your bone density and maintaining your bone density. So when there's withdrawal of estrogen in the perimenopausal or menopausal period is when women start losing at least 1 to 2% of their bone density that they've gained per year. So this is almost inevitable unless you put in place strategies to actually circumvent that through replacing estrogen and other factors as well.
Hmm. Thinking about broken bones, when a fracture happens, what happens to the bone? Can this impact the likelihood of osteoporosis?
Yes, I think often because we do not routinely screen bone people for bone density, and that should be offered to people who are at risk and older people certainly. But if we do not screen for patients, and the first sign that someone has osteoporosis is when they present with a fracture with a level of trauma that one would not expect to actually cause a fracture. So it's a marker of osteoporosis, and it's also a marker that this person is likely to have fractures going forward. And with each subsequent fracture, that risk actually goes up quite significantly. And we shouldn't ignore the fact that each fracture results in some impairment in people's ability to mobilize, to work, to be active, to live a normal life. And in older people, for example, there's a high risk of hospitalization, especially with hip fractures. There's a high risk of requiring more supportive care. There's a high risk of going into residential care. And we should not forget that some of these fractures can have an association with mortality. So you can die from some of the serious fractures that occur, especially hip fractures. And we frequently see a number of patients admitted to the hospital with osteoporosis, not identified until they come in with a hip fracture or some other major fracture.
Mm. Well, moving to the other end of the life cycle, what can young people do to start looking after their bones?
Okay, so a couple of things. Firstly, as I mentioned earlier on, it is the formative year for your bone density. You start off with very little when you're born, and over the years you get stronger and stronger bones until the age of about 25 to 30. So trying to optimize your bone density in that period is of paramount importance, because the higher your bone density achieved, the better. And of course, there are a number of strategies which we've already alluded to, which are quite important, including weight-bearing exercise. So playing sport is important. You mentioned dancing in older years, but certainly in younger years, any physically active sport is quite useful for bone. An active lifestyle, avoiding, you know, computer games and sitting at computers for prolonged periods of time, because getting up will make you more active, will make you more physically active, and of course increase your bone density. And it takes you out into the sunlight and gives them vitamin D as well. So we need to importantly emphasize to young people that their bone health is important, and it is an investment in their future, because the higher their bone density, the stronger their bones when they reach their peak bone density in adulthood, the lower the risk of them actually having fractures going forward. So that reduction of even 1 to 2% in the menopausal period for females, for example, it will take them a lot longer to reach a stage where their bones are brittle enough to break compared to those who have a lower bone density to start with.
Hmm. If someone is concerned about their bone health now, should they head to a GP? What should they do?
Yes, well, the first thing is, I think there are a number of websites that are quite useful. The Arthritis and Osteoporosis Foundation of Western Australia, as well as Australia, and Healthy Bones Australia are organizations that I'm involved and others involved in osteoporosis, and these are useful websites to give you ready information and empower you and give you information. It's always useful to understand what you're going to your GP for, and thereafter go to your GP and discuss any concerns that you may have, and your GP will direct you in terms of what are the most important risk factors that you have and what are the best strategies to reduce your risk of falling over and breaking your bones. So it's about taking an insurance on your future risk of a fracture, and if you act now, you're less likely to have problems later on, and the consequences of the problems can be quite significant.
Well, thank you for sharing your expertise on Fitter Happier this morning, Charles.
Thank you very much, Danae. Thank you for inviting me.
That was Charles Indergeith, consultant physician at North Metropolitan Health Service, clinical dean, Curtin University, and clinical professor at UWA.